If you have your Bibles this morning, we've been in a series talking about transition and the purpose of transition. It's really exciting seeing what's going on in our life. You know, it can be chaotic and a little disturbing seeing what's going on in the world, but you have to realize God is way ahead of what's going on in the world, way ahead. I asked somebody a question one time, about God's way of preparing things. I think we forget God's way of preparing things. Y'all recall what God did on the seventh day of creation. He rested. He rested. Why? He was done. So let's backtrack. What was the last thing that God created on the sixth day? Man, right? So the very last thing God created was man. And we kind of look at that and we're like, well, that's cool. God created man last, blah, blah, blah. We don't really think a whole lot of it, but here is the reality, and here is what God wants us to recognize. God created everything for man first. God prepared everything for man first, made sure that man was prepared, then gave man, then created man, put him in a prepared place called the garden, and said, hey, look, this is all yours. Remember Genesis 1:26, God gave man authority, man dominion, or the right and responsibility to rule, and said, you have dominion, you rule, you multiply, you care for this stuff, it belongs to you. So that's what God did, but you have to realize God still does it that way. He prepares stuff for you and I ahead of time, but we have to see where He prepared it, and it starts with the promises in the Word of God. When I see a promise, you know, I used to have, had all kinds of sickness years ago, but whenever I found out that there's a promise regarding healing in my body, I would not let up until I seen that promise take place in my body. And so with that, we have the responsibility and the right to stand in faith on what God said. Let me say this. I was doing something outside yesterday, and this just rose up on the inside of me. Oh, I know. The trailer tire out there, It has a slow leak, and I was going to the barn with my little air tank to air it up, and as I was walking back to the barn, it just rose up in me that, you know, we put a priority on prayer, but do you know there are many things that you and I need in our lives that actually do not come by prayer. They come by exercising the authority that God gave us. It comes by standing in faith on what God said that already belongs to us. And so, you know, when we were believing for increase for our detached garage, we weren't looking for people. You know, you could look on our Facebook page, and of course, you know personally, we never ask anybody for money. However, we've received several thousands of dollars to help with our Moonoo Ministries headquarters without ever asking a person a dime. Why is that? Because as long as we stepped out to do what God's called us to do, He will supply the needs. Remember, we all know Philippians 4:19, that my God shall supply all of my needs according to His riches and glory and not our riches and glory. I was telling the kids that the other day. We were sitting on the couch and I was telling them, I said, you know, you and I, we have to believe God to do what He said He's going to do. And we have to recall what He said He's going to do and then what He says for us to do. And what He says is that we are to believe Him for our needs to be met, and all we have to do is believe that what He says is actually true. So I was telling my kids the story. We just sold our 4Runner, and we were telling them how we got blessed with that 4Runner, and even though it needed a lot of work now, we got rid of it and got blessed with some money from it, and we just told them, I said, God blessed us, and we tithe off of our increase from that. And so, but what I'm saying is very simply this, that there are things that you do pray for, but then there's promises that God said belong to us. We find those promises and we believe we receive them. We say, Father, I thank you that this verse right here says this belongs to me. So in Jesus' name, I take it by faith and I believe this to be so in Jesus' name. And so all that to be said, we're excited. We're excited. Isaiah 54, verses 1 through 4. We've been talking about transition, and this is a very interesting verse about transition or passage. Isaiah 54, 1 through 4 says, sing, O barren, thou that did not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud. The that thou did not travail with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent. Let them stretch forth the curtains, thine inhabitants. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, stretch out thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and your seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for you shall not be ashamed, neither thou be confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame. For thou shalt forget the shame of your youth, and you shall not remember the reproach of widowhood any more. So in other words, if there were times in your past where we were barren, where we were fruitless, you know, a lot of people think that whenever someone is not producing children, that, oh, somehow God didn't bless me with children. Barrenness, according to Deuteronomy, is actually a part of the curse of the law. And so that has nothing to do with the hand of God or God, you know, this or that. It has to do with the curse of the law. Galatians 3 says we are redeemed from the curse of the law. So when you recognize that our lack of inability to have children is not because of God, it's because of the enemy, that changes everything. You know, we struggled to have kids for 5 years. We said that we would have kids, we'd start having kids the fifth year of our marriage, and about that time, I think we waited 2 more years, and then when we started to try, we struggled. Now we weren't getting pregnant right away, and so we didn't say to ourselves what a lot of the sovereignologists say. Well, I guess it maybe it's not God's will for me to have babies. We could have resigned to that and never had kids. But we did not. We did not resign to that. And we started pushing in every possible way. Keza had really good insurance working for the hospital she did. And so we went and did some fertility stuff. And nothing wrong with that. I had a girl one time. They were struggling to have kids. And her parents would really ridicule them. And they would tell them, well, I guess if you're not having kids, it must not be God's will. Remember, I guess is a statement of unbelief. There is no faith in the statement, I guess, because you are not stating a truth, you are stating a guess based on no facts of the Bible whatsoever. And so this lady, she said, well, I told my dad that my husband and I were going to do some fertility stuff and go to the fertility doctor, and he got kind of upset. He started getting little goofy and said, well, if Lord wanted you to have babies, you'd have babies, you wouldn't have to go to the doctor. So I said to him, or her, I said, next time you go to your dad's house, your parents' house, and they say that to you, walk over to his medicine cabinet, grab all the medicines, and very respectfully place them on his lap and say, well, Dad, I guess if God wanted your headache to go away, you wouldn't have to take a medicine for headache, would you? And so, now listen, we believe God for healings. We you know, thank God we have some medications to help us along while we're getting some relief from those things and sickness and disease. But God's will, according to the Word of God, is always healing and health. And so with that, she did wind up having kids, two beautiful children, and now she could tell the story of how they believed God. So what I'm saying today is no matter what is not happening in your life that you believe is supposed to happen, all you have to do is find out what God says and stand on that. And produce what God says. So it says here that the barren woman can produce a whole lot more than those who weren't barren. See, it's a greater miracle when somebody that's called barren has a kid. There's a minister in South Louisiana that had a ministry conference one time, and there was a lady that came down for prayer, and her husband, they were struggling to have kids, and the husband wasn't there that day for that conference, but she came down And the minister asked, well, what are you believing God for? And she said, I'm believing to have kids. The doctors said that I can't have kids, and I know it's God's will for me to have children. And so, first thing he said, well, are you married? And so she said, yes, I am. So he prays for her, lays hands on her, prays for her, and just prays that promise into her. And then the very next year, about that same time when that conference is an annual conference, during that time, I think it was in April, every year now it's in July or June, she comes back down with a testimony. She goes up there with the baby, her and her husband. The baby is, just a couple of months old now, 3 months or something like that. And she says, hey, well, you remember you prayed for me last year at this conference for me to have babies, and this is the baby, and we believe God for, and it's my husband. And she said, and we also brought our OB-GYN that delivered the baby. And so Brother Jesse, you know, the minister, he's kind of, okay, well, you know, come on up. We'll just, great miracle. I mean, why you have your OB with you right here today? Well, the OB grabs the mic and he says, well, he says, yes, I am the doctor who delivered the baby, but I'm also the doctor that took out her uterus before the baby was born also. So in other words, the reason why she couldn't have kids, she had no uterus. She had some stuff, female stuff going on, and they had to remove her uterus. So that same doctor that removed the uterus is the same one, I forget how long it was after that, that actually delivered the baby. And so all that to say, it doesn't matter what the doctors say. It doesn't matter what the natural says. If you have a promise for something, you know, we always say that God will move heaven and earth to make sure His word is done. If God split a Red Sea, He did the unnatural to cut a Red Sea in half. And more than just that, He made the ground dry. I mean, I would have been okay if He would, you know, just got me across on muddy ground. You know what I mean? I've been all right. I've been like, whoo, that's a miracle. That's awesome. But He went beyond that. He dried the ground up for Him. And so I think we forget that the God of the Bible is still the God of today, and we don't put a demand on the covenant that He gave us. And so it's about time we find out what belongs to us and receive, believe and receive that. And so this says strengthen or lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes. Why would you lengthen your cords? Because of increase. You're getting ready to grow. You're getting ready to flourish. You're getting ready to expand. Expansion is transition. Expansion is transition. God has His kingdom in a season of transition. Now, if you look at what's going on outside, you're not going to see transition that God has for us. You'll only see the transition that the enemy is forcing on the world. You know, the Bible calls the enemy the spirit of the world. And so we will only see what the enemy's doing if we're looking at the outside. But if we will spend time with the Word of God, spend time in prayer, spend time in personal praise and worship at home, you'll begin to know in your knower what the Spirit of God is doing, and it won't alarm you. You know, we said this before, but last year in April or March, when the shutdown and stuff first happened, and I'll be real honest with you, I didn't know much about coronavirus. I had heard something happening in Seattle, and one of our good friends was flying into Seattle to see her son. He's in the Navy, and he's fixing to go off on a deal for several months, and she wanted to see him one last time before he goes. And so, they texted us to pray for him because how bad things were out there. And I'm like, well, bad? Bad for what? And then it wasn't much long after that, the kids come home from school with all their stuff. And I'm like, why? And they said, well, we may not be going back to school. We need all of our stuff. And I'm like, what? And so that's when I realized something was happening. But it didn't alarm us because we weren't paying attention to the outside. Yes, we were ignorant of what was going on in the world, but I'd rather be ignorant of the world stuff than ignorant of what God is doing and saying on the inside. He was already preparing us, and so it didn't rock us. It didn't shake us. It didn't change us. It didn't affect us. And we even got some ridicule from people that were mad because we weren't alarmed. Listen, you're going to get that alarm. How about Jesus? Remember when Jesus was asleep in the boat, in the middle of a storm, water's getting in the boat, and the disciples went up to Him and a little bit perturbed, and they say, Jesus, don't you care? We're dying. They said, we perish. Don't you care? Just because Jesus wasn't concerned about a storm didn't mean He wasn't concerned about the people. He just wasn't concerned about the storm because it's going to be fine. Everything's going to be just fine. But Jesus had peace on the inside, like you and I can have the peace of God on the inside as well. And so growth is transition, just like pregnancy is transition. We went to this verse last week in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, and this is Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 through 14. It says, wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence only, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and complaining. I like that how Paul sticks that in there, that last part, do all things without murmuring and complaining, because the first part is work out your own salvation, for it is God that works in you. And we gave you two definitions, the word work, where he says work out. In other words, your salvation was inside. Your born-again spirit was what was changed. But when you and I were born again, this new you on the inside, God wants that to be worked out. So in other words, He wants what's in you and I to begin to show up on the outside. Now, that's not an act. That's not a, you need to act saved. Listen, as we are renewing our mind and renewing our thinking according to Romans chapter 12, we will be transformed and things will begin to change. But it says right here, work. The word work means to bring about or to accomplish or carry out a task. To bring about, to accomplish or carry out a task until it's finished. So in other words, what God desires is that our outside look like our inside. Now that's interesting because remember the Lord's Prayer? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth just like it is in heaven. Well, is there sickness in heaven? Nope. Is there lack and poverty in heaven? None at all. Is there crazy-minded folk in heaven? No. Which means God wants things down here to look like up there. How does that happen? It happens with the Word of God. It happens when we begin to be transformed into exactly what God called us to be transformed into. So that's the word work. Work out your salvation. The word salvation is the word sozo, and it literally means nothing missing, nothing broken. It doesn't mean just born again and you get to go to heaven. It means far, far more than that. You know, we call ourselves a full gospel church, a full good news. Not just the partial good news that you get to go to heaven when you die, but the full good news that there are benefits to living for God now before you go to heaven. All right, so then it says here, work out, or for it is God that worketh in you both. Everyone say both. Both, so there's two things God's working in you. To will, that will is your want to, and to do. So in other words, you know, like the kids, they're, you know, we have stuff that they have to do, and their will is not quite there yet. They're doing it, but they don't will or want to do it. It's important that we develop our will or our want to do things for the Lord. You know, I've been in ministry for a long time and almost grew up in it, and one of the things I've learned is you can do things religiously just because you're supposed to do it, you know what I mean? But then when you do things, what is it? Isaiah 1:19 says this, if you're willing, if you will to, and you're obedient, you will eat the good of the land. So in other words, promises will come, not just because you do what God says, but you do it from your heart. We do it because we will to, or we want to do something. And so it says here, for it is God that works in you to help you to will to, that's by His word, and to do His good pleasure, do all things without murmuring and complaining. Let me read Philippians 2:12 in the Amplified. I love how this sounds. It kind of explains it better. It says, therefore, my dear ones, as you have always obeyed my suggestions, so now, not only with the enthusiasm you would show in my presence, but much more because I'm absent, work out, cultivate, carry out to the goal and fully complete your salvation with reverence and awe, not trusting yourself, but cautious with tenderness of conscience, watchful against temptation, not shrinking back with timidity that might offend God and discredit the name of Christ. In other words, when you and I are growing from the inside out, we do make mistakes. We do make mistakes, but we don't walk around acting like we're perfect, because if we do, when we act like we're perfect, then people look at us when we make a mistake, they're like, oh yeah, yeah, you thought you were so perfect. But if we walk around just as normal people who just are trying to serve God and not high-minded and big-headed, then when we make mistakes, people are like, oh, okay. And then you and I, we repent. Man, I should not have said that. I should not have done that. That was wrong of me. People respect that. They respect that. But it's one of those, you know, when we're know-it-alls, that's when we're like, yeah, I knew you were going to fall eventually. But what Paul is saying here is that God wants us to work out. In other words, a transition. You know, our Christian walk is a life of transition. This morning I was praying. Actually, it was funny. I was praying for a friend in Colorado, and the phrase just kind of jumped up on the inside. Our life is a series of turns. Our life is a series of turns. And so as I heard that on the inside, it started making sense because, you know, every day of your life, there's going to be something that you'll have to turn to or turn from. You know, we probably, Keys and I, are probably the only people that had very few turns to get to church this morning. We turned out on one county road, turned onto the other one, and then turned in the parking lot. Boom, boom, boom. And we were here. Everybody else had to maybe right turn, left turn, turn. Chris, he had a lot of turns. You know, and so all that being said, our life is a series of turns. Well, turns are choices of transition. And so if we don't make our turns, we're not going to end up where we're supposed to go. See, we would love cruise control. Cruise control, where you just set the cruise. You know, I remember the old days. I remember when I was a kid, cruise control was really rough because it didn't automatically accelerate when you're on a hill. Nowadays, it's electronic, so when it realizes your RPMs are going down, it'll bump up, you know. And the back of some of the old cars, you have to get it out of cruise control, hit the gas so you got up the mountain or whatever, and then, you know, get it back leveled and reset it again. But now it's super duper great, man. You just hit the button and it just goes. Now, I don't like cruise control very much. I rarely use cruise control, but at the same time, it's there. But I would use it on straightaways. If I'm on the interstate, you know, we went to Arkansas. Was it spring break? No. Spring break? No, we took a trip to Arkansas just for the heck of a weekend thing. We got on I-30, and once we got on I-30, we hit the cruise, and we just kind of went all the way, you know. And it's great. You don't have to do anything. You don't think about nothing. But our life is a series of turns. And so we're always going to have something to turn to or turn from. And so if we get comfortable, we might wind up in the wrong destination. If we don't pay attention, if we're not giving our attention to the things of God, we might just miss a turn. You know, when the GPS thing started to get real big, remember like the main one was called TomTom? That was like one of the, and so you had all the commercials and stuff. We had some friends that had a TomTom, okay? And we went to Branson with them. They brought the little TomTom with them, you know, because it was a handheld device and you could put it in your car or whatever. And so we went to Branson one time, and we were looking for a movie theater. We're going to want to go to the movies, and this is pre-kids, you know. And so they turn on the TomTom, and we go, and it takes us to this empty field. And we're like, okay, well, TomTom does not know the directions. And so now we got Siri and whoever we got, Google this, Google Max and his Google Assistant, you know what I mean? And a lot of times those things aren't correct. But then there's times where like, so we go to Oklahoma City a lot. And there's a part of town we stay on over near the airport, and it's super confusing without construction, but then there's been construction the last couple times we were there, and so I know this area is coming up, and so I'm ready to remember which little this and that do I have to do. Well, I'm listening to Siri on the phone, and she still don't know what to do. And so three times I've been through that area in the past 2 years. Past year and a half, and she never gets it right, ever. And so I know there's a transition coming up, and I know I've got to rather follow my gut or pay attention to the roads. And three times in 3 years, I've had to exit, make a U-turn, go back on the highway, and get it going and just figure it out, okay? So there's a series of turns. So even when we make a mistake, we make the wrong turn, there are turns that get us back in the right area. Then there are things we got to turn away from. Because see, turning is transition. And there are things that get in front of our face that if we don't make a transition and make a turn, it'll get on the inside of us and we'll get some wrong information. You know, right now in our society, you have media pumping out what they want you to believe. And if we don't make a turn, we're going to listen to the wrong thing, make a wrong decision, a wrong turn, wind up in a wrong place, and this is what we're going to say. As good Christians, we're going to say, oh, I guess it was God's will that I got here. No. We missed the turn. Real simple, because that just means I'm perfect and God's not if he's the one that missed it and not me. If I wind up at the wrong destination and I say, well, I guess this is God's will, then that is me saying I made every turn right, so where I am was based on God. That's not true. God is always leading us to make turns. And if we don't make a turn, then we wind up in the wrong place. Does that make sense? And so there are turns. You know, if you look in the Bible, there's so many places where God said their hearts were turned away. Their hearts turned here. You know, when The Bible talks about the burning bush, and Moses was out there in the desert, backside of the desert, watching his father-in-law's sheep. The Bible says that he noticed a bush, and he said this, Moses said this, he said, I will now turn to see this thing and why the bush burns but is not consumed. So in other words, he caught it with the glimpse of his eye, but then he had to make a decision to actually give his attention to that thing. God did not speak to him until he turned. Does that make sense? So there's transition that does not happen, and there's information you and I will not have unless we make that turn. And so we talked about Abraham last week. Abraham, God gave him a promise, told him, your son Isaac, through Isaac, all these promises will come to pass, and the nation of Israel will bless the whole earth because of your son. And then God tells Abraham in another chapter, I want you to sacrifice your son, told him where to do it and all that fun stuff. So Abraham leaves the house, and he says to his servants, hey, you stay here, and me and the boy will return, we'll come back. And so Abraham went up the mountain, took his fire, took his knife, took the wood, and basically, when he told his servants that we will come back, he didn't know exactly the details that God was going to do. He just knew, this is the promised son right here, so God's going to have to do one of two things, protect him from dying or raise him from the dead when I kill his tail. Does that make sense? Because this is the promise right here. And so Abraham goes up the mountain and gets up there, and as soon as he gets ready to sacrifice his son, the angel Gabriel pops up and says, don't hurt your boy. And here's a ram caught in a thicket. And the question we left at last week is very simply, when did God send that mountain goat or that ram up that mountain? Because remember, God prepares things ahead of time, but we don't always know what God's going to do until we make all the right turns, all the correct turns, or the transitions, the maneuvering to get to the place of promise that God said. Because if we don't make those turns, and listen to this, if our daily walk isn't a series of turns and transitions, we will miss the what and the where that God has for us. If Abraham would not have went there, see, Abraham didn't know the details. I like details. I like knowing the details ahead of time. He had no idea God was going to put a ram in a thicket. Nobody did. He had no idea what God was going to do. He just knew God had to do something. You know, when Paul, in the book of Acts, was in the storm, this big storm called Euroclydon, the angel of the Lord says to Paul, the ship will be destroyed, but nobody on the ship will be harmed. Well, I would rather the ship not be destroyed. I appreciate the no harm part, but I'd rather the ship not be destroyed. So Paul tells the people, listen, I don't know all the details, but the bottom line is this, that we're all going to live. The ship will be destroyed, but we're all going to live. And that's okay. That's okay that we're all going to live. I mean, it's rough that the ship will be destroyed, but the ship is a ship. You know what I'm saying? You know, I got friends in South Louisiana that lost houses the week before last. And listen, a house is a house, but you'll get another house again. And thank God your life is in order. Does that make sense? I mean, we've had destruction from floods living in the Houston area. We've seen it. We understand that. But what I'm saying is, what about the end? The end is, well, somebody passed away. What's the end? Well, you'll see them in heaven. They're in heaven. Well, praise God for that. I don't like the details of how they got there. I don't like the reality that they're gone. But what's the end result? See, the end result of our transition is the promise of God. And we have great things that God has planned for us while we're here. And all the series of transitions will help us to get to where we're going, help us to get to the place of the promise so that we can receive everything that God has for us. Does that make sense? Isn't that interesting? It's a series of transition. So if we're just slack back, you know, we're doing the, you know, I'll just cruise along on my road. Listen, watch out. If you're not paying attention to those transitions, you know, the Bible says this. I think it was Paul that said, he says to be circumspect. And that word circumspect means give attention. Pay attention. Pay attention so you don't miss what God is doing. If we are not paying attention, we will miss what God is doing. Thank God Abraham didn't miss it. Thank God Moses didn't miss this burning bush. You say, well, how do you miss a burning bush? I don't know. I mean, lightning hits bushes all the time. Lightning hits different things. And I've seen trees burnt because of lightning. And so, you know, but the cool thing was the whole fact it wasn't being consumed. That was the cool thing. Had he not turned to face the thing, If we had not made a transition, things would not have happened. And so it's very important, these transitions we make. You can write this down, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18 says this, "But we all, with open face, beholding in a glass the glory of God, we are changed from the same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God." So it says here that as we're spending time, it says as looking as a mirror in a glass, in other words, looking into the Word of God, the Word of testimony, the Word of God, as we meditate on the Word of God, there's a transition happening. And we are changing from glory to glory. One verse says, from faith to faith. So in other words, we're growing, we're increasing. And we don't always see the increase or the changes right away, but the key is stay in the process, stay in the growth process. You know, being a disciple, Jesus called us disciples. A disciple means learner. So I am a learner. My theological diplomas and degrees mean nothing to me. Now, yes, it was a season of time, and I remember those seasons of time, and I remember, and I appreciate those seasons of time because I did gain things. But as far as a piece of paper and an accomplishment on the wall, it means nothing to me because my today and my right now is what means everything. My journey and my walk of faith as a disciple, as a learner, why? Because I'm learning right now. I am continually learning all the time, and that's what God wants for our lives, because my learning causes me to increase. My learning takes me from glory to glory, from faith to faith. That's what our learning and our growing helps us with. You can turn to Romans chapter 12, and we'll begin to close with this. Romans chapter 12, and this is verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, it says, "I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind," your thinking, "so that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." I want to show you a couple things here, because whether you like it or not, we are all going through transition. The question is, have we put ourselves in the right line of transitions, or are we following the path of least resistance? Because the path of least resistance takes us through enemy transitions. It takes us into a place of comfort where, listen to this, where we get so comfortable we don't feel like making transitions in the right direction for God. All right, now watch this. The word conform, be not conformed to this world, or you could say it this way, the world system, or the system of the god of this world. The word conform means to fashion, okay? So the word fashion means to mold like clay. The word conform means to conform to the same pattern outwardly. So in other words, there are things happening that our lives outwardly are being shaped by. There is something, you know, in your home, your personalities were shaped by your homes you grew up in, your environment, your triumphs and tragedies you've gone through. There's tragedies we've gone through that was not God's will, and it messed with our heads, our losses and different things that have happened, and they've messed with our heads. Well, the tragedy wasn't God's will, and the messing with our heads wasn't God's will. And so for you and I, those situations will shape our thinking. They'll shape our minds. And so that word conformed means to fashion alike, to conform to the same pattern outwardly. It means to conform one's mind and character to another's. To conform one's mind and character to another's. You know, I like it when I see my kids acting like me in the good way. I really am embarrassed and I feel ashamed when I see them doing something bad that I might do. One time, I think it was Mackenzie, she was shouting and just, you kind of got irate. And as I was getting ready to correct her, I knew it. I knew she was doing me. I knew she was mimicking what she seen. And that was a big reality that I need to watch out. I need to get better myself. Because the real me is at home. So it's not you may not see the real me, but my kids see the real me. My wife sees the real me. And so, is my children conforming to the character that they're seeing? Are they being conformed to my character? And so I've got to guard myself. But then here's for us. Are we conforming to the characters that we're seeing? You know, just because somebody might be in a leadership position doesn't mean they're a character that we should model. You see what I'm saying? We had a very, 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 very painful, hurtful news that we received this weekend about some ministers that we've known now most of my life, that I've respected for so many years, highly respected in faith circles and various things. Just very, very well known. This couple is getting divorced because it's finally come out that he's been unfaithful to his wife and for a long time. And so their church went from 4,000 to about 400 in a short period of time because, you know, what's on you will come out. You know what I'm saying? It's not going to take long for people to know what your character is like. That's why somebody asked me, I think it was a young minister asking me if I forgot how he said it, but basically what he was saying was, is it hard to be a minister and be in public and all that kind of stuff? Because a lot of times I think what ministers model is one person on the pulpit and one person outside. And I told him, I said, it is way too hard to be an actor. I said, I would rather me be the same person up here and the same person at home. And if you don't like either one of them, that's your deal. You know what I'm saying? If you don't like me, that's fine. But I'm not going to act holier than thou up here and then, you know, me being a turkey when I'm at home and you have to try to get you to like this guy, not that guy. You know what I mean? It's just easier to just be the same guy everywhere. You know what I'm saying? And so at the same time, character is what we're modeling. We got to model character because somebody is growing or dying because of our character. And so that word conform has the understanding of conforming one's mind and character to another's. Now the word transformed, it says be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. So we have to do some transforming. That word transform is the Greek word, listen to this, metamorphosis. Metamorphosis. If you learn a little bit of science, you remember metamorphosis is what happens when a caterpillar becomes a butterfly or a tadpole becomes a frog, right? And so metamorphosis literally means to transform from one thing to another, from one character to another character. That's what you and I are doing or supposed to be doing on a daily basis. That's why I can't go have my time with the Lord and with the Word of God and the Spirit of God every other day. I've got to do it every day. Matter of fact, I've got to do it twice a day because, man, stuff happens to me enough to where it can shape my thinking and my mind wrong if I allow it to. So I got to go back to the reset. This is my reset right here. I got to get back to the reset by the end of the day. There's sometimes in the middle of the day I got to get back to my reset because someone done made me mad. Someone done act like a fool. And I'm ready to hit them. You know, I'm not violent, but you know, you just want to. You know what I'm saying? And so I got to get back to the reset. So the word transformed is metamorphosis. Denote, it means change of place or condition. Means to change into another form or image. So you and I are being transformed by our thinking into something different. Proverbs 23:7 says this, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So what am I saying this morning? There's transition that you and I are in. And if we are not placing ourselves in transition to grow, God doesn't automatically change us. God gives us the tools to get involved in change. And as we get the right tools to get involved in change, we begin to change, we begin to increase, and we begin to see the goodness of God, the promises of God, the covenant benefits of God take place in our lives. As we begin to change in our believing, our thinking gets higher and higher. And if we'll step into that process of change, if we'll be ready to make turns, the series of turns in our journey, instead of just kind of slack back, you know, I get that picture. Keza had this Mustang when we first met, and the way Keza sits when she drives, the seat is like half back. I mean, she's short, so she has a seat up, but it's like the back part is like laid back. Now, Chris, you drive like that, don't you? Because y'all have the same exact, Chris and Keys have the same exact seat patterns, exact seat. They drive each of those vehicles, so they don't have to touch the seat at all when they, you know. And so I get in Keys' car one time, and I'm like way back here, and I'm like, you know, and I'm not short. But I'm like, Ted Gum, girl, you ghetto. You know what I'm saying? And so I'm having to let, And I grew up with truck drivers. We can't get too comfortable. We have to keep the seat straight up, you know, so we don't fall asleep. You know what I mean? And so anyway, so yeah, we don't need to be doing like this. We need to be ready like this for that series of change. And if we will stay in that process, in that journey, these transitions that God leads us into, that we turn here and turn there, will bring you to great things and great places. Amen? Let's stand. Just like Moses. Man, he went through all kind of transition to get to the backside of the desert. Man, and Abraham, lots of transitions. And dreaming Joseph, lots of transitions. You and I are transitions. But if you look at the end result of these guys, if you look at the end result of Abraham, if you look at the end result of dreaming Joseph, you know, I believe it was 23 years from the time dreaming Joseph had his first dream until the time he became second in command of the nation of Egypt. 23 years. How long of the journey would you and I last? You know, I've been in a journey for a long time. You know, some of the prophecies that we've read that God has spoken about our church are 13 years old. I've got prophetic words. Listen, one guy, I'll never forget this. It was in February of 1999. So it was a couple months before I was even married. Okay, a couple months before I was even married, I was at a meeting or a retreat in Columbus, Texas, and a minister that I knew, he laid hands on me. He had a word from the Lord, a prophetic word, and the part of the prophetic word is this. He said, in 1 year, you're going to give birth to a supernatural baby, and it is the plan of God. And I knew he wasn't talking about physical baby. I knew he was talking about the plan of God, because at that time, I was serving as young adult director of our church. I wasn't full-time, and I never intended to leave full-time ministry to go to, you know, work, do all kind of other stuff. You know, I'm not afraid of work. Y'all know that. But anyway, and so when he said that, then he talked about some other things. Well, 1 year later, I was on full-time staff at the church that Keza grew up in East Dallas, and that first part was done. It was taken care of, and there was another part that till this day hadn't happened yet, but doesn't mean it's not done. You know, just like whenever my pastor prophesied when we were struggling to have kids, He said, you will have that baby. He said, matter of fact, he said, not only that baby, but I see the others also. Now, we had one miscarriage later on, and that was not the will of God. So, you know, a lot of people say, well, I guess God didn't want that. No, miscarriage is part of the curse of the law, according to the Old Testament. And yes, I had a miscarriage, and it was not the will of God, okay? And so all that to be said, he saw prophetically ahead of time what was going on. But then there was another part regarding ministry properties and ministry buildings. That's 13 years ago. It was several years after that we finally had the kids and all that. So what I'm saying is in my journey, I'm ready for turns that God may have me go on, because it takes me to the place that he said. You see, there's a place that God wants to speak to your heart. There's a place that God wants to tell you about. There's a good place. There's a place of promise. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews to labor, to enter into rest. And the word rest has the understanding of very, very simply this: enter into the promise. You see, that labor that we do to get into the promise is not the works, it's the believing. And for us, the labor to enter into the destiny, the destination, and the good things that God has for us, that labor is very simply this: right turn, Michael. Left turn, Michael. Don't forget, getting ready to make another turn, Michael. A turn. A series of transitions, a series of turns. And as we stay on top of what God is telling us and stay close to him on that level, then we'll get to everywhere he has us to go. So that we won't be those people that say, well, you know, I know it looks like I missed a turn, but that was just God. That was just God. No, I didn't miss a turn. That was God. And I guess this weird place that I'm at right now must be the will of God. No. You missed a turn. But here's the great thing. Here is the good thing. God is a God of grace, and God is a God of mercy. So if we missed a turn, guess what he says? Hey, Michael, if you'll just go back, if you go backwards for a minute and make that turn. Now, that left turn now is a right turn, son. If you just make that turn, it's still there. That turn is still there for you to make. And if you'll make that adjustment, you'll get to where I've always intended for you to go. But if you think you're right and I'm wrong, Michael, you know, if you think God's wrong and Michael's right, then you're going to stay in a place of nothingness the rest of your life. But if you just go back, make that adjustment, everything that I have planned for you, it's for you. See, I believe that message is for us this morning. You know, maybe you're on that journey where you know that God is leading you. Maybe you say, well, I don't know the leading of God. Well, God wants to begin to show you the leading. There's a verse in John chapter 10, verse 4, and it says this. It says, my sheep know my voice. Not they can know, but they do know. So as you give attention to your knower, your spirit, the real person that you are, God will begin to speak right here. You'll begin to know in your knower what you're supposed to do and what you're not supposed to do. Real simple. Real simple. That's the way God planned it the whole time. He didn't want us to have to figure it out in our head. That's the reason why God did not want Adam and Eve eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because God didn't want them to have to make a decision. God only wanted them to hear the word of the Lord and follow. That's why Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so you and I can get back to that place that God desired, to God's original plan. And now if you and I have made the wrong turn, or if we hadn't made any turns whatsoever, God is gracious enough to say, Michael, or anybody else, if you'll just back up and go ahead to that turn where I told you, I'll make sure and catch you up to where you're supposed to be. I believe that that moment is now, and I believe that season is now for going to where God has us. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Father, I thank you for your word today. God, I thank you that we are growing. We are growing on the inside so that we can explode on the outside. And Father, just like you do things first in the spirit realm, in the unseen, and then it shows up in the seen, in the natural, God, we fully believe what you've said in the unseen. We fully believe everything that you're doing in the unseen. And God, we fully expect increase in our life. Lord, and Lord, as we talked about journeys this morning and about our seasons and transition and a series of turns, Father, today we recognize that, Lord, we've not done all things right. We've not made every choice the right way, and we've not done everything perfect. And we are quick to recognize we are imperfect people serving a perfect God. But Lord, in your perfection, you gave us something called grace that filters our imperfection in light of your perfection. We thank you for that grace today. And Lord, if there's anyone here, myself included, if we have not made every turn right, today we make the choice to get back on the trip, get back on the road, and retrace our steps and to go back where we missed a turn. Lord, if we made a right turn when we should have made a left turn, God, I thank you for your ability and your divine grace and mercy to give us that choice one more time. So, Father, I thank you for your restoration of things that we've lost because of failure to choose or poor choices. I thank you for restoring things that we may have lost because of those choices. God, I thank you for bringing things, good things, back into our life that maybe we have missed. Maybe, Lord, there's a time in our life where our walk with you was fresher, was more on fire. God, I thank you for redeeming us back to that place. I thank you that in your mercy that's new every morning, I thank you for those times of refreshing in Jesus' name. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, very simply, I want you to make this declaration out of your heart. I want you to say this with me out loud. Father, I thank you for your grace and for your mercy. I'm sorry. I repent for my wrong turns or my failure to turn. But today, Lord, I make the choice to get back on the journey, to get back in your plan. And I'm listening on the inside, Father, for your Holy Spirit to tell me which way to go, which way to turn, what move to make, so that I can get to the place you have destined me to be. Father, I thank you from this day forward, my life will change. It'll transition upward. It'll increase. It'll grow. And I'll see more of you, more of your power, more of your promises, active and effective in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning...